Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. It's good to have you here. It's great to be with you as always. It's good to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Rick Pinion is our guest and our good friend, and he'll be with us in just a second. Before he gets here, I want to remind you that my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. If you don't like to type, that's the long one, but it's the easy one to remember. Here's the short one. It's the acronym. And it's JBSBA.com. That's the acronym for Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. And just put a JBSBA and a .com on the end, and that'll take you to Small Business Heaven, where you can subscribe to my free newsletter. And you can read lots of thousands of articles and listen to thousands of archives. And very soon, I know I keep telling you this, but literally we are very close to pulling the trigger on a couple of new features that I think you're going to like a lot. So that's coming up in the next few days. Rick Pinion is our guest. He's all over our website because he's been with our Brain Trust now for a long, long time, many, many years, 6 or 7 years at least. I think over seven, actually. He's the president and the founder of Pinion Financial Services. He's the financial planning expert in our Brain Trust, and he's our good friend. Rick, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, Jim. It seems like I've been on for many moons.
You have been here many moons, no question about it. And folks, all of you. Financial planning groupies out there, stand by because Rick's getting ready to do the really sexy part about his job. Go ahead, Rick.
Okay, yeah, let me give the disclaimer to our listeners. First of all, I just want to mention that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. You should always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through SunAmerica Securities Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member NASD and SIPC, and Pinion Financial Services and SunAmerica Securities are not directly affiliated. Also, the listener should remember that there's risks inherent in all investments. Thank you very much, Rick.
I bet that works great for you in bars and things, doesn't it?
It's a good pickup line, isn't it?
Rick, one of the things that I've written about in the past are the different ethical protocols that various professions have. Doctors have their own ethical standards. Lawyers have their own ethical standards. So do CPAs. So do architects, et cetera, et cetera. Small business owners, not so much. We don't have an ethical standard. We actually have to go beyond in other words, I think these professions kind of have it easy. They can go read up on what they're supposed to be doing. Small business owners work in a world where we have to be our own arbiter of how we behave, and it shouldn't be hard. We just should do the right thing. But your profession, certified financial planning, you guys actually have a code of ethics, don't you?
Yeah, and it's broken down between principles, which are generally stated principles, and then under the principles there's rules that we have to abide by. And these are generally recognized within the profession, and there's also serious sanctions in case a certified financial planner practitioner were to violate some of these rules or principles. So they take them very, very seriously. And once a person's been disbarred, that's about it.
Well, the reason that you wanted to talk about this today, I think, was so that when people avail themselves of the services of a financial planner, that they understand what is required of these people. Give them a little bit of an idea about what's required so that if they see behavior that misses the mark, they'll kind of have an idea about what's going on.
That's true. And, you know, Jim, in my profession, we go through a financial planning process, which many people have never experienced before, but it's quite refreshing, where we adhere to our principles. For example, we have the first principle is called integrity. And when we talk about integrity, we're talking about people these days, especially with all the things going on in Wall Street, they're looking for someone that they can put their trust and confidence in. And when this, you know, we talk about trust and confidence, we're talking about honesty, we're talking about candor. We're talking about a person not subordinating their personal interest or personal gain you know, to their advantage. It's almost like saying that the interests of the clients always have to come first. There's like a fiduciary responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so in a court of law, they're held to what they call the reasonable person or the prudent person standard. I think that's very, very important when it comes to integrity.
Right, absolutely. You know, something that happened over the weekend in the British Open, the Open over there in St. Andrews, David Toms wasn't sure. They took a video of what he was concerned about, but he believed that his ball moved when he putted it on a green, and after he stepped on it, even though they couldn't find any evidence of it actually happening, he actually withdrew from the tournament because he thought he'd violated a rule. That's pretty strong integrity, folks. You find that in the game of golf. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our good friend Rick Pinion, the president and the founder of Pinion Financial Services in Bethesda, Maryland, hard by to our nation's capital. And we're talking about the code of ethics of financial planners. These are things that you need to expect from your financial planner. And if you aren't getting some of these things, then you have a right to ask about them and to check into it. First thing, the first principle, Rick, is integrity. The second one is objectivity.
Right. And we talk about objectivity, Jim. We're talking about being objective and providing professional services to clients. It relates to things like intellectual honesty and impartiality. And one of the ways that we try to do that is by adhering to the financial planning process. And there's a number of steps to that. But in order to be objective, first we have to gather information. We have to define the client-planner relationship. We have to ask the client what are their goals and analyze and evaluate all the alternatives. And only then make intelligent recommendations. And then on a periodic basis, I know I meet with my clients on a quarterly basis so we can monitor their financial planning recommendations. So when I go through those processes, it helps me be more objective because rather than being transaction-oriented, I'm actually going through a planning process. And in terms of, you know, judgment and trying to make the best decisions for my clients, the more information I have, the better.
Well, go ahead.
And I was going to say objectivity, of course, is the second of seven principles.
Well, and the thing that objectivity, where it comes into play, it seems to me, where it could be breached, I should say, is in the way that the financial planner is being compensated. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. In fact, we have to disclose that, whether if it's fee only or fee and commission or commission only.
Right. And there are at least three different ways that you can be compensated. And some financial planners are only fee-based, some are only commission-based, and some are a combination, and that's your category, isn't it?
Right. And there's nothing right or wrong with determining what a person's compensation. It depends on how they hold themselves out to the public. And one thing's for sure, if a person claims they're fee-only, that means they cannot receive commissions off of any products.
Right.
So that's a pretty stringent rule, and a very small number are fee-only, some charged by the hour.
Right.
And some, like lawyers or doctors, they charge a certain fee depending on the scope of their work.
But to me, the reason that's important is because if you're a consumer, if you're a customer, a client of a financial planner, and you feel that you're really almost over the top about objectivity, maybe a fee-only planner is best for you.
Right. And before the financial process gets underway, the financial planner should disclose all of the way that their different methods are compensated mm-hmm. so the consumer knows exactly how the financial planner gets paid. I think that's very important.
Right. The next one's competence.
Yeah. Competence is very important. In fact, competence has to do with having an adequate level of knowledge and skill. And it also says that if a certified financial planner practitioner gets into some area in which they're not skilled, they should definitely refer that particular situation to someone who is. For example, if we come across some sophisticated tax work, perhaps a CPA should be called in to help and work as part of a team. Or when it comes to estate planning, the only person that should be drafting those documents is a qualified attorney, not anyone else.
Are you saying that if we see our financial planner going into areas that you're pretty sure that they're not competent in, that should be a little bit of a red flag, shouldn't it?
It should be. And by the way, when you look at a certified financial planner practitioner, some of them are attorneys and some of them are CPAs. However, these days we have a tendency to specialize. So even though a person has those particular licenses or designations, it's possible that they're out of date,
right,
or there's some other specialty that they have to work with as well.
All right. Principle number four.
Okay, number four is fairness. When it comes to fairness, we're talking about disclosure of conflicts of interest. We're talking about intellectual honesty and impartiality. It's very, very important that clients be treated fairly and that they have all the information that they need to make intelligent decisions.
All right. Well, from a full disclosure standpoint, not having any conflicts of interest, what would that be? What would be an example of conflict of interest?
Well, for example, if I owned a mortgage company and I was doing financial planning for a person, I told them that it's a good idea for them to refinance their mortgage.
Ah.
And I'm referring to my own company. That's obviously a conflict of interest.
Right.
It's hard for me to be objective.
And that's considered a no-no in your industry.
Right.
Is that right?
That's for sure.
Yeah. Or
let's say I'm sitting in a bank. I'm a financial planner that's sitting in a bank, and the bank's encouraging me to work with some of their proprietary products. That's definitely a conflict of interest.
Right, right. Absolutely. All right, what about confidentiality?
Oh, boy, that's a big one these days. Now, that affects almost every profession these days. It's the don't blab rule. So if someone tells us something having to do with the financial planning process, that has to be held in the strictest of confidence. The financial planner should not reveal or to use for his or her own benefit, you know, without the client's consent, any personal identification or information. And I guess there's a couple exceptions there. One is if you're in a court with a grand jury, obviously you have to tell the jury what's going on. But in terms of just normal day-to-day activities, it's important to keep confidentiality to a high level. It also helps these days, Jim, to prevent identity theft.
Right.
You know, once a person has a person's Social Security number and,
right,
you know, date of birth and a couple other pieces of information, they can go on a field day.
And, of course, that gets into the area of security, which is beyond confidentiality. Another principle is professionalism, and another one is diligence. We're going to talk about those when we come back after these messages. But also, what I'm going to ask Rick to do when we come back is, if we think that our financial planner has breached any of these principles, what do we do about that? How do we handle that kind of situation? We're going to tell us about that right after these messages. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Rick Pinion is our guest. He's with Pinion Financial Services. Girl, to call my own, I want a dream lover, so I don't have to dream alone. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Rick Pinion. Rick, give us your website, please.
Yeah, I've got a couple websites. Let me give you both. The first is for the financial planning website for Pinion Financial Services, and that's www.pinionfinancial.com. And Pinion's easy to remember. It's like O, Pinion without the O. And the other website we have is for those folks interested in getting some information on health and life insurance. They can go to www.ehealthandlife.com.
Now, can I find out more about health savings accounts on that website?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got some good.
It lists the states that we're doing business in.
Good deal. So you can check out that website, folks, to learn more about eHealth and Life. Health savings accounts at ehealthandlife.com. Rick, we're talking. Let's just wrap up these other two, and then I want to ask you what we do if we find a breach. These are professional requirements that the financial planning industry has developed. The number six is professionalism.
Right, and here we're talking about fair and honorable competitive practices. We're talking about making sure that people are trustworthy in their profession. If they suspect illegal conduct within the CFP community, we're required to report people. We're required also, if under the 1940 Investment Advisors Act, we're required to disclose to clients our firm's status as a registered investment advisor. We're talking about if a person asks us for information on our background, we're supposed to give that to them. So professionalism is very, very important. It also means keeping your education up to date, because we have to take 30 hours of continuing education
mm-hmm.
each year.
Every year.
Keep our designation or our license.
What about diligence? What does that mean?
Well, diligence means primarily making sure that whatever we recommend for a client is what we call suitable. The word suitability is a big deal in the financial planning arena because it means that we have to know what a person's risk tolerance is and their time horizon before we make recommendations to them. It also means that before I recommend any products or services, I'm required to investigate and do a reasonable amount of research into whatever financial products I recommend to my clients.
Which then we would call due diligence.
Right.
Rick, if someone, this is a, you actually sent me a handy little 4 or 5 page outline here with just a little bit of narrative, like one paragraph under each one of these. If somebody wanted to have this in their hands so that they can look at it and read it and understand it a little bit more, could they email you? If they emailed you, could you send them a copy? Could you email them what you emailed me?
Sure, I'll be happy to.
Give us your website. I'm sorry, give us your email address.
Okay, the email is very similar to the website. It's pinion@pinionfinancial.com.
So, folks, he'll send you a little PDF of this report that he sent me, which talks about the different ethical requirements, the code of ethics, I should say, for financial planning, the financial planning industry, and that's pinion@pinionfinancial.com. He'll send it to you, and he'll do it for free. Thank you for that, Rick. All right, what do we do in the 2 minutes we have left? If we think that our financial planner might not be acting in our best behalf, either they're being incompetent or they're being untrustworthy or unreliable or unresponsive or whatever, what do we do with that?
Well, if it's a serious breach, and we're talking about something pretty serious here,
which you mean not just bad customer service.
I'm talking about something either totally, you know, illegal or unethical or something that the person's doing that they really should not be doing. I would definitely report them to the, I'll give you the phone number. Phone number is to the Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, which is in Denver, Colorado, and you can reach them at 303-830-7500.
Now, what would be the website out there?
The website is www.cfp-board.org.
cfp-board.org. So,
right.
Folks, if you don't have that going on in your life right now, you probably won't remember all that whenever the time comes, but you can remember this show and you can remember Rick Pinion and remind us and we'll get you that information. But this is good stuff because, as you know, Rick, most financial planners are like you. They work really hard. They do a good job. They try as hard as they can. And I'm sure like you, if any customer thinks that if they're not unhappy for any reason, you want to know about it, don't you?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. That's the reason we do feedback. I mean, we send out a report card to our clients.
Right. Well, then you meet with your folks every quarter, don't you?
I sure do.
Yeah. Rick, thank you for being here. Good job today. Thanks for helping us understand this.
You're welcome, Jim.
And we'll see you next time. Rick Pinion, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back another day. We appreciate him helping us understand the code of ethics of the financial planning industry. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and I want to remind you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.